There we go. Good morning, everyone, and welcome to Overeaters Anonymous, A Vision for You, Big Book Study. My name is Jody E., and I am a recovered compulsive overeater. Today is Monday, January 6, 2025. Today we are reading from the Big Book, and we are on page 69, paragraph 2. Today's readers are Eileen M., she will read the text, Dana P. will read the closing, Alex K. is our backup, we have Justine F. reading the 12 steps, and Kathy B. reading the traditions, and our newcomer greeter is Carla H., and Shelley E. will give announcements. The following are the reference numbers for the previous two meetings. Yesterday's special edition, January 5th, 22,053. That's 22053 for yesterday's special edition. And this morning's 7 a.m. Eastern Time meeting, reference number, if you want to listen to the recording, is 22,054. 22054. Overeaters Anonymous is a fellowship of individuals who, through shared experience, strength, and hope, are recovering from compulsive overeating. We welcome everyone who wants to stop eating compulsively. There are no dues or fees for members. We are self-supporting through our own contributions, neither soliciting nor accepting outside donations. OA is not affiliated with any public or private organization, political movement, ideology, or religious doctrine. We take no position on outside issues. Our primary purpose is to abstain from compulsive eating and compulsive food behaviors and to carry the message of recovery through the 12 steps of OA to those who still suffer. Our sole purpose is what our fifth tradition states, that each group has but one primary purpose, to carry its message to the compulsive overeater who still suffers. At A Vision for You Big Book Study, our message is that people who suffer from compulsive overeating can recover through abstinence and the practice of the 12 steps and 12 traditions of Overeaters Anonymous. I will now ask Justine F. to read the 12 steps of Overeaters Anonymous. Justine?
Hi, Justine, compulsive overeater in Oregon. Here are the 12 steps of Overeaters Anonymous. One, we admitted we were powerless over food, that our lives had become unmanageable. Two, came to believe that a power greater than ourselves could restore us to sanity. Three, made a decision to turn our will and our lives over to the care of God as we understood him. Four, made a searching and fearless moral inventory of ourselves. Five, admitted to God, to ourselves, and to another human being the exact nature of our wrongs. Six, were entirely ready to have God remove all these defects of character. Seven, humbly asked him to remove our shortcomings. Eight, made a list of all persons we had harmed and became willing to make amends to them all. Nine, made direct amends to such people wherever possible, except when to do so would injure them or others. 10, continued to take personal inventory, and when we were wrong, promptly admitted it. 11, sought through prayer and meditation to improve our conscious contact with God as we understood him, praying only for knowledge of his will for us and the power to carry that out. 12, having had a spiritual awakening as the result of these steps, we tried to carry this message to compulsive overeaters and to practice these principles in all our affairs. Thank you.
Thank you so much, Justine F. And I'll now ask Kathy B. to read the 12 Traditions of Overeaters Anonymous. Kathy, please. Press star 1, Kathy.
Good morning. My name is Kathy B. I am a recovered compulsive overeater, and I live in Oklahoma. These are the 12 traditions. 1. Our common welfare should come first. Personal recovery depends upon OA unity. 2. For our group purpose, there is but one ultimate authority, a loving God, as he may express himself in our group conscience. Our leaders are but trusted servants. They do not govern. 3. The only requirement for OA membership is a desire to stop eating compulsively. 4. Each group should be autonomous, except in matters affecting other groups or OA the whole. 5. Each group has but one primary purpose, to carry its message to the compulsive overeater who still suffers. 6. An OA group ought never endorse, finance, or lend the OA name to any related facility or outside enterprise, lest problems of money, property, and prestige divert us from our primary purpose. 7. Every OA group ought to be fully self-supporting, declining outside members' contributions. 8. Overeaters Anonymous should remain forever non-professional, but our service centers may employ special workers. 9. OA, as such, ought never be organized, but we may create service boards or committees directly responsible to those they serve. 10. Overeaters Anonymous has no opinion on outside issues. Hence, the OA name ought never be drawn into public controversy. 11. Our public relations policy is based on attraction rather than promotion. We need always maintain personal anonymity at the level of press, radio, films, television, and other public media of communication. And 12, anonymity is the spiritual foundation of all these traditions, ever reminding us to place principles before personalities. Thank you for allowing me to do service this morning. I pass.
Thank you so much, Kathy B. from Oklahoma. How our meeting works. Our meeting focuses on the directions for recovery described in the Big Book of Alcoholics Anonymous. We read a paragraph or two from the literature, then stop and share on what was read. Anyone may share, but we ask that you keep your sharing to the topic and literature we are discussing, and that you keep your share to approximately 3 minutes. Singleness of purpose reminds us to identify as compulsive overeaters only. Our abstinence requirement for moderators is 1 year, and for readers is 6 months. There is no abstinence requirement for sharing on topic. This meeting does request that your sharing be directly linked to what was read. We are sharing what the directions in the Big Book mean to us. To share, press star 1 to unmute. Once you're done sharing, let us know by saying pass, then press star 1 to remute your phone. To have a quiet meeting, everyone's phone except the speaker should be muted. Today, we resume our study of the Big Book on page 69, paragraph 2. I will ask Eileen M. to begin reading. Thank you, Eileen.
Good morning. This is Eileen M. I'm a recovered compulsive overeater in New Hampshire. In this way, we tried to shape a sane and sound ideal for our future sex life. We subjected each relation to this test. Was it selfish or not? We asked God to mold our ideals and help us to live up to them. We remembered always that our sex powers were God-given and therefore good, neither to be used lightly or selfishly, nor to be despised and loathed. Wow, it's a good paragraph for today. I'm very, very grateful. I had the gift of becoming recovered as a result of working all 12 steps with entire abstinence, and that was 8.5 years ago. And since then, I got married. I got married 5 years ago. This is my first marriage, and this is actually the first healthy relationship I've ever had. I've had a long history of unhealthy relationships, and you know, through my inventory, my fourth step, I became aware of, you know, what some of my motives were in these relationships. And, you know, mostly I was more focused on what I could get out of them instead of what I could put into them. And, yeah, you know, looking at my mistakes in the past, my sponsor, you know, asked me, you know, what my ideals would be going forward. And it kind of means to me standards of behavior. You know, how was I going to show up in the relationships that I would have in the future? And, I was definitely very selfish. And, you know, I had a lot of self-centered fear because a lot of these relationships I got into, I really had no business getting into them, but I was afraid of being alone. And, you know, there were so many ways that I used these other people for my own, you know, gain. So my sponsor explained to me that, you know, I needed to look at my past behavior and kind of come up with ways of how I was going to behave. And this is kind of like a living amends. I kind of see it that way. But, you know, it's something that I do kind of on a regular basis. In my morning meditation, I ask my higher power, you know, to help me live up to what I've come up with in that inventory. And, you know, I started asking myself this question in my nightly inventory, was that how is it like to live with me today? I just thought that was very, I don't know, it was very motivating, you know, to, you know, examine at night, like, how was it, you know, how was I today? How did I behave towards my husband? Was I kind and loving? And it's just, I don't know, I think it's a really good addition to that nightly review. So anyway, I'm going to pass with that. Thank you so much.
Thank you so much, Eileen M. from New Hampshire. All right, I will now take a list of names of people who would like to share on that paragraph. Although we value everyone's experience, we ask that you limit your sharing to every third day in order that others might share their experiences too. So who would like to share?
Wendy B.
Wendy B.
Deborah G.
Deborah G. Arizona is well represented. other states?
Bessie O.
Bessie O. Anyone else? All right, well, these three will get us going. Wendy B., Deborah G., and Bessie O. Please go ahead, Wendy.
Good morning. This is Wendy B., recovered in Arizona. And I just love that definition of ideals or standards of behavior. And, you know, we ask God to mold our ideals and help us to live up to them. And I see that as, you know, not just romantic relationships, but all my relationships. And just this is just so life-changing, this concept. You know, I'm no longer showing up in my relationships, you know, however I want, you know, whatever mood or attitude I'm in at the moment, you know, because I've given my life over to God and committed to do His will, you know, to accomplish His purposes. And so I need to carefully monitor my interactions with others, you know. I'm to represent my Maker, you know, and seek to have understanding and compassion and love in my relationships. And, you know, and I get to continually ask God to help me, you know, be a channel of His love and grace to others. You know, and in relationships that are difficult, you know, with people, you know, that I have to struggle to maintain a good attitude around, I found it, you know, helpful to write out these ideals and refer to them, you know, and ask God to give me the direction on how He would have me relate to these people. And, you know, and I just have to refresh my thinking continually, you know, instead of just like reacting in my flesh, you know, like when I cause damage, you know, that that I get to do 10 steps on these difficult relationships and learn and grow and change. And, you know, and it's a slow process of growth, you know, of doing this work, you know, showing up poorly and having God reveal the errors in my thinking, you know, and helping me make amends. And, you know, with the attention of real change, not just a quick, I'm sorry, you know, but I want to really change and be who God wants me to be in these relationships. And, you know, and I have to stay in close contact with God, you know, in order to show up differently. You know, it's a gradual work in me. And that's all I have. Thank you for letting me share.
Thank you very much. Wendy B. from Arizona. Deborah G., please go ahead.
Oh, thank you. Thank you so much for your service today, and everyone's service in making this meeting possible. I love this meeting. And welcome to all the newcomers. Excuse me, I'm so glad that you're on the line with us today. And I'm Deborah G. from Arizona, and I was just thinking back. I've been thinking back a lot in this section we've been talking about of when I was actively in my sex addiction and how much that suffering was, suffering for others and suffering for me. And then also not knowing, you know, how to have healthy relationships with people. I'm still learning, you know, and when I've done the work, the step work, especially around that sex addiction, the freedom, the change because of that divine loving power presence that has made that happen. I continue to be reminded of how much power God has. If I can just continue to stay connected with that power and do everything with that power the best that I can, when I remember, you know, I am different. People are different with me. I'm different with them. And my life is different in that area. I was just sharing that with somebody about how I feel towards men now, as opposed when I did before. I used to just go to women's meetings. Now I'm going to men's meetings, and I'm connecting with men on a different level. It's, you know, at first it was uncomfortable because I'm not used to that, but it's just a beautiful, beautiful experience to be able to have this way of living in relationships, and it's ongoing. I remember doing a workshop, and I wrote out a sex ideal, and I still have that. I haven't focused on that for a while, what I wrote. But it's just an ongoing journey, and I'm so grateful by God's loving grace that I have that honesty, open-minded, and willingness to keep doing this so I can have those relationships, so I can be loving and kind and compassionate and all those beautiful qualities, God consciousness, God's words, God's mind, God's actions. You know, that's what I want. And then everything else, you know, happens in divine order. Oh, thank you all so much. Thank you for the shares already. Thank you so much. Have a beautiful, blessed day.
Thank you, Deborah G. from Arizona. Bessie O. from what part of the country do you come?
Colorado.
Colorado. Go ahead, please.
Good morning. This is Bessie O from Colorado, a recovered compulsive overeater. Thank you for leading and everyone who's doing service this morning. This is just such a huge paragraph for me. In this way, you know, so we've already reviewed our conduct, and it's after reviewing, you know, we learn. And we take what we've learned through this process to come up with, you know, sane and sound ideals. And it's God who molds our ideals. I've spent a lot of time trying to find, you know, you know, I want to find the ideal, or I want someone to tell me what to do. And just like I, you know, I heard yesterday, just this clear message that no one can tell us whether we're a compulsive overeater, just like no one can tell me that, you know, my relationships or a certain area of my life is unmanageable. It's like I need to uncover it myself. But this is just such a beautiful ongoing process. And I just want to share, like, I, you know, my most intimate relationship is with my husband of 25 years. And I just had this experience that is just like such a demonstration of what God can do, not what Bessie can do, but what God can do. We got back from a trip and I was up early and there was this, you know, it was like taking down holiday ornaments. And I know, like, I usually drag my feet with it. And my husband, he just delights in getting it done, you know, getting it done efficiently. And I was like, no, I'm just going to do this. And I did my morning routine and then I took down, you know, did the part that I usually do. And he woke up in the morning and was just, you know, his eyes got wide, you know, and it was just such a little thing. But that's the kind of, like, I know it's like so obvious, why didn't I do that in the past? But, you know, that's the kind of stuff that this program does. And it sounds little, but it's just huge, you know, in these relationships that I can continue to grow in not being selfish, dishonest, inconsiderate in my relationship. I can grow in learning not to hurt people, you know, who I love the most, not arousing jealousy, suspicion, and bitterness. And it doesn't come through white-knuckling or someone telling me this is what you need to do. It comes through getting connected with God, carefully reviewing our conduct, and then allowing God to get in there and do what we can't do.
That's time.
That. Thank you.
Thank you so much, Bessie O. from Colorado. All right, if you came in a little late to our meeting, we are on page 69 in the chapter How It Works, the second full paragraph, which begins, "In this way, we tried to shape a sane and sound ideal for our future sex life." Who else would like to share?
Sandy T. from California.
Sandy. Jennifer H. from California.
Jennifer H.
Ann R. from California.
Ann R., California.
Beth C. from Illinois.
Betsy?
Beth
from
C.
Beth C. from Illinois. All right, great. Let's go with that. Sandy T., Jennifer H., Ann R., and Beth C. Please.
Good morning. This is Sandy T. from California, recovering compulsive overeater. And I haven't got to share for a long time because my finger wouldn't press the star one. Anyway, this is a brand new year and I'm working my fourth step again. Well, I've done it before and always interested in what I discover about myself. When I got to that sick man's prayer and started looking at other people as being spiritually sick like myself, it was so much easier to tolerate them. When I got to my fears and realized that everything I was doing wasn't going to get rid of my fear, only God could, that changed my point of view. But when I got to the sex conduct and realized that once I started looking at these men in a different point of view, and it was the point of view of being my brothers rather than being a sex object, all of a sudden I felt so much more friendly to them. It wasn't like I was running to them as idols or running away from them because I was afraid of them. They were my brothers, and that was my sex ideal towards them. And it was a wonderful shift. It made, like it was been said before, talking to men and being so much easier because my attitude towards them was different. And that was a real God shift. And thank you all for everything that you do to make this meeting possible. And with that, I pass.
Thank you so much. Sandy T. from California. Jennifer H., please go ahead.
Hi, thank you. Good morning and welcome to the newcomers. It's Jennifer H., a compulsive overeater, recovered in California. The line that stood out for me for this, first of all, I appreciate that we can talk about sex in the big book, albeit it's a small section. However, it's an important one. I know for myself, I ate over that because I was giving myself away and I didn't really want to. There was this conditioned idea that I had to. Based on circumstances, you know, from my childhood upbringing and socialization, things like that. So I would eat over that because I didn't know really how I was feeling and was stuffing it all down, literally and figuratively. And through working this program and working the steps, my attitude about that has completely changed in more of a direction of my higher power wants me, you know, to thine own self be true. And to love myself and what that looks like for myself. And so what stands out for me here is the God-given, therefore good, that our sex powers, that's pretty powerful powers. You know, I have powers that are God-given and therefore good, neither to be used lightly or selfishly, nor to be despised and loathed. And what stood out for me with that is the self-despising and the self-loathing around my attitudes and thoughts about sex and having sex relations, intimate relationships with other people. You know, I despised and loathed myself as a woman, as someone in a relationship that, and trading myself for to be liked and to be loved, and in just ridiculous, what I now see as ridiculous ways. And you know that I need to love myself, not loathe myself, love myself and the powers that I've been given, those sex powers, whatever that looks like. And I'm just really grateful for that, because having that knowledge keeps me out of the food, you know, and in the truth and connected to my higher power. And I'm so forever grateful for that. I don't know what the future holds in this area of my life. However, I've turned that all over to my higher power, and I'm grateful for that. And we will thrive in 25. Happy New Year to everyone. Thank you for letting me share. I pass.
Thank you so much. Jennifer H. from California. Ann R., you're up next.
Hi guys, good morning. My name is Ann R. I'm a compulsive overeater and I'm from California. And I find this absolutely, I may get emotional on you, I find this absolutely amazing that I haven't talked on this line or listened to this meeting for a very long time. And I wanted to just take on, it's a new year, it's fresh starts, I can start over, I can keep going. The higher power brings me right to this paragraph, brings me right in. And with laser focus, I get to see that recovery is possible, because we can talk about the unseen and the untalked about here. I'm a survivor of childhood abuse, and I dove into the food and got my first food fix when I was 2 years old. The abuse didn't start until I was teen, but I used food as a drug definitely to bulk up so you wouldn't see me. You wouldn't find me. I would hide in what I call my fat cave, and I mean that most lovingly to anyone else who's listening. I have a lot of years in another 12-step program, and I just need to put it out to the world and my higher power especially that I don't have any sobriety with my food addiction, and I'm glad that you guys are here, and I'm glad that I can reframe each and every moment into a new beginning, and which includes my relationships with others and my relationship with my body, and definitely sex is a part of that. I don't know what else to say except that I'm probably going to have to find a way to get on that membership site today and change my phone number so that I can have full access. Thank you all for being here. It was amazing just turning to my phone contacts, finding the phone number, and getting back in here with you. The Clan of Recovery from Food Addiction and obviously from other issues that affect us. So blessings to your day and Happy New Year. Thank you for being here for me.
Welcome back, Ann R. from California. We're so glad you're here. Beth C. from Illinois, please go ahead.
Good morning. This is Beth C. from Illinois. This is only like the second time I've talked on here, so but I feel compelled because I am just, it's like my eyes are open and God is so good. The reason why I'm on the call today is because I promised my sponsor I would be, and so I didn't plan on talking, but this is something that I struggle with, this actual paragraph, and the people that have gone before me that have spoke, I can resonate with all of them, because I have something from all of you guys. I am abstinent, and I am looking at my sex conduct, especially with men, and I struggle with it. So I am so grateful to hear all of you guys. And it is a new year, and thriving in 25 is the goal. Anyway, thank you so much for listening, and hope you all have a great day.
Thank you so much for sharing. Beth C. from Illinois. So we have plenty of time left for more shares. We are on page 69, the second full paragraph. In this way, we tried to shape a sane and sound ideal for our future sex life. Who would like to share?
Liz A. from California.
Grace Liz from California. A. Grace.
Good morning. I am brand new to OA, excuse me.
Oh, hold on. Hold on, please. Hold on just a sec. I'm still gathering a little list here. I have Liz A. and Grace so far. Who else would like to share? This is your opportunity. If you don't share often, we'd love to hear from you.
Caroline S. from North Carolina.
Caroline S. North Carolina.
Jordan L.
Jordan L. from Colorado. Okay, let's go with that list there. Liz A. Grace, I didn't get your initial, Grace, or your state. Caroline S. and Jordan L. Please go ahead, Liz.
Good morning, everyone, and thank you for your service.
In just a few minutes, so I'm just going
to... Would everybody mute who's not Liz A., please? Everyone who's not Liz A., please mute. Go ahead, Liz.
Good morning, everyone, and Happy New Year, and thank you for your service and all the wonderful shares that have come before. First of all, I have to say that God has a sense of humor by putting the sex section on page 69. But aside from that, you know, I think there are a lot of us that have been married a really long time and are saying, well, this sex thing doesn't, you know, it doesn't pertain to me because I've been monogamous and in a relationship. But, you know, for me, I have to remember to, you know, not inspire jealousy at all by making any comments about anybody being good looking, because, you know, we're all sensitive. And so that's one thing I wanted to say. But what I found is that today I have God mold my conduct by what is stated on page 83, where it says, show me the way of patience, tolerance, kindliness, and love. Because, you know, I'm going on 35 years of marriage. And, you know, when you know someone that well, you're going to push each other's buttons. You're going to make each other impatient and, oh, he's doing that again. And, you know, I really, really, in my nightly inventories and in my mornings, I pray for patience, tolerance, kindliness, and love to the people that are closest to me. And my husband is the one that's always closest to me. And, you know, I end up making amends to him on a regular basis because I'm a human being, but I still want God to shape my ideal. And it's good to remember that. So this is really what resonates with me. And with that, I will pass.
Thank you very much, Liz A. from California. And Grace, could we have the initial of your last name and your state?
Good morning. Yes, the initial is F like Frank, and I am in California.
Thank you. Go right ahead.
Thank you for this opportunity to share. I am brand new in OA, I think 3 days maybe now. I come from another food 12-step program. And this is a really good subject. When I first heard it, I thought, oh my goodness, I've been married 23 years. What do I need to think about this for? And in listening, I realized the issues that I do have with intimacy and relationships because of severe abuse growing up as a child. And I am on husband number 5, and this one actually did last 23 years, but I have so much to learn on being selfless in relationships. And I have looked at men over the years as abusers, and I'm just grateful for this program, and I am hearing that we need to go to God for a lot of inner healing. So I'm just looking forward to this journey, and I just want to say the few people that I have spoken with in OA have been so kind and generous, and I'm just grateful for you all, and I'm just grateful for this journey and being at the very bottom of learning. So just wanted to say thank you, and I'm grateful.
Thank you, Grace S. from California. Welcome. We're so glad you're here. Caroline from North Carolina, please go ahead.
Hi, good morning. This is Caroline S. from North Carolina, and I have not been on the line for quite a while, but this meeting is a lifesaver for me. So whenever I get into any kind of disarray, you know, I make sure that I make my way back. A couple of months ago, I broke both ankles and was, bedridden for a while. But, you know, amazingly today, I'm up walking around and just so grateful and thankful for that. But in the meantime, when I look at this paragraph, I have had many years of where I used to try to be what everybody else wanted me to be. And I would write God these little notes about, could you please send me somebody that is, and I'd list all these things, you know, that would be good. And, but I had to get abstinent first, and I had to do some work on myself and really get some things in order. Now, of course, I'm not perfect. I'm not there where, you know, everything, we can never be, but I am working my program again. And, you know, last year, God sent me the most wonderful man. And here we've been together a year now, and I'm married last year, and it's just amazing. But I know this, thanks to Fourth Steps, I have done a lot of work on this basic principle. And finally, I am calm and serene when it comes to my relationships, sexual relationships. I don't like what I had before, but I love what I have now. And I thank my higher power, God, and for being able to show me the way in this program, for giving me my abstinence and the ability to see just how selfish I am, really, and to work with that. And with that, I pass. Thank you. Happy New Year, everyone.
Thank you so much, Caroline S. from North Carolina. Jordan L., it's your turn. Jordan, press star one, and everyone else, please mute. Sounds like maybe Jordan had to step away. All right, so we have time for a couple more shares. Who else would like to share?
Christine B., California. Mm-hmm.
Christine B., California. And there was someone else.
Susan S.H.
Susan S.H. Okay, let's go with you two, and we'll see if we have any more time after that. Christine B., please go ahead.
Hi, this is Christine B. from California, and I've been listening to these incredible shares and so grateful to be here. And I didn't actually think I had anything to share, and then God somehow just gets in there and like, yeah, you do. So I've been married for a while, and I have taken my husband for granted for a long time, and my sex life years past was definitely not sane. And I wish I had somebody to blame for that, but it is me. But anyhow, flash forward to my husband. For years, I've taken him for granted and kept him at arm's distance. Had lots of expectations, not accepting things, a la page 417. And God shows up in this program through outreach and fellowship. And I'm talking to somebody one day, another fellow in program, she talks about her marriage and even what's kept things working for them. And it really wasn't even what we initially intended to talk about. But she's like, you know, periodically you got to say I love you and I appreciate you. And I was like, wow, that's a really novel thought. And I think that shapes my sane and sound ideal. Like I've asked in the morning with my meditations, help me to show up patient, tolerant, loving, and kind towards my loved ones. And I think, oh, because I made my husband a lunch, there it is. I've fulfilled that. But actually taking time to appreciate all the things that he brings and how much grace he's given me, the least I can do is tell the man, I love you. I appreciate you, because I do. And I don't know, but that's all I had. But thanks for letting me share, and I pass. Everybody, thriving in 25. I love that. All right. Pass.
Thank you, Christine B. in California. Susan S.H.
Thank you. Good morning. This is Susan S.H. in Ohio. I'm a compulsive overeater, recovered for the day and grateful that I was given something to talk about. Always not an easy subject for me to talk about, but the fact is, I can see such a difference in that part of my life as well. because I have the program to, and I have directions for it. The fact is I was quite selfish in our early marriage. And another fact is that these things change as you get older because your bodies change. And I did not have that gift of my ideal for how I want to be in a large part of my marriage. I'm grateful that I do now, but I certainly had an ideal I was trying to hold up to him, which obviously didn't really work very well. And, you know, I don't know if I ever made amends for how much I have expected him to complete in our marriage. And that's something I need to take stock of today. But as it is right now for today, I am so grateful for this ideal. It helps me not only in my marriage, it helps me in being a mother. It helps me in being a sister, helps me in being a grandma. What kind of whatever that is, do I want to be? And how can I bring my higher power into all of it? By asking him to shape these ideals. So yeah, I'm grateful for these pages. And I'm grateful for how they apply to me in so many ways. So thank you. Always grateful for the directions in the book, and I pass.
Thank you, Susan S.H. Is Jordan L. back on the line by any chance? I guess not. Okay. Is there anyone else who would like to take a 1.5 minute share or a 1 minute share?
This is Barbara.
Barbara A?
Yeah.
Go ahead, Barbara. Not too long, just about a minute. Thanks.
Well, that's all I need, Jody. Thank you so much for your support. Listening to these shares today, so grateful. So grateful for this adjustment in my relationship with my husband. My sex ideal has been, you know, molded by the words in this book. The fear is gone, the shame, the blame is gone, all by working the steps and doing that sex inventory. So grateful for this meeting. Thank you, and be listening to all of you this year. Thanks, and I pass.
Thank you very much, Barbara A., California. All right, we will now close with a reading from the Big Book from page 164, followed by the Serenity Prayer. Will Dana P. please read A Vision for You? Our
yes,
book is
Jody,
meant to be suggested only.
Yes, Jody, thank you so much. It's been my honor. I'm Dana P. in California, the Big Book or Alcoholics Anonymous, page 164. Our book is meant to be suggestive only. We realize we know only a little. God will constantly disclose more to you and to us. Ask him in your morning meditations what you can do each day for the man who is still sick. The answers will come if your own house is in order. But obviously, you cannot transmit something you haven't got. See to it that your relationship with him is right, and great events will come to pass for you and countless others. This is the great fact for us. Abandon yourself to God as you understand God. Admit your faults to him and to your fellows. Clear away the wreckage of your past. Give freely of what you find and join us. We shall be with you in the fellowship of the Spirit, and you will surely meet some of us as you trudge the road of happy destiny. May God bless you and keep you.